February 22, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy: to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Live from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding, California on Market Street, it's Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And here is your host, Connor Sutton.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, another edition of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Today is a glorious day here on March 27th, and there's one reason why. So the March Madness tournament going on, and earlier this morning I got a text from our wonderful producer Jared King predicting winners for tomorrow. This is it. I mean, it truly is a glorious day, Jared, that you have finally taken a little bit of interest in. You're actually, I wouldn't say you're paying attention, but you're at least paying attention enough to make picks, and I absolutely love it. So I'm very excited about that. He gives me a thumbs up because he does not want to talk about it. His four picks for tomorrow, probably more accurate than mine: Gonzaga, Purdue, Texas Tech, and Virginia. He actually said Texas, but we know he meant Texas Tech, so we got you. Yeah, you're fine. Dan Anderson and Francesca Carrera joining us today. A lot of stuff to get to, some Masters stuff. Opening day, I guess we'll talk about, even though
I don't want to. Don't sound so excited about it.
Yeah. NFL rule changes, and then Josh Rosen to the Giants. But I want to start with this today, and I'll get your guys' opinion on this in a moment. So there's like a lot of things going around right now. You know, Zion Williamson has been basically the guy in this March Madness tournament, which has not had too much madness in it. There hasn't been a whole lot of upsets. Pretty much the first four seeds in each bracket is advanced. Not necessarily everywhere, but the vast majority of it, that is the case. But Zion Williamson, Paul Pierce, I believe, said something a couple days ago that Zion Williamson would be a top 50th player right now, and he said it was a hot take, and people have been reacting. I've seen multiple things. Well, Zion could be a top 20 player. Let's hang on, everybody. Let's relax. We have no idea how Zion's going to play in the NBA against professional athletes. Right now, he's playing in a league that he appears to be way more athletic than and just way more talented than everybody in. What happens when he faces a little bit of adversity in the NBA? We don't know how he's going to be. We don't know if he's going to be a top 20 player right away, eventually, probably. But who knows? I mean, he's 6'7", 285. He's going to have to drop some weight just because of the amount of games you play in the NBA, and the speed of the game increases so much. Zion's kind of been in this bubble at Duke. He's got great players around him. He's set up perfectly. He's not the guy to where he's going to be getting double teams, triple teams, things of that nature. He goes to the NBA. He goes to one of these bad teams that are tanking for him. Now he's going to be getting more attention. Pressure is going to be on him even more to succeed. So I just think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on the fact that Zion Williamson is a top 20, top 25 player in the world right now. Because there's no way. Think about the 25th best player in the world right now. Let's say if you go outside the top 20, you have guys like probably Kevin Love is in that range, LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, guys that are 20-point scorers in the league. And you're going to say that Zion Williamson, who's averaging 23 a game in college, is better than those guys? I just don't see that. And to me, is this an overreaction of the media, which always happens, that Zion Williamson might be a top 50 player right now, but let's see what happens the rest of this season. Let's pump the brakes on all this and wait for when the actual season comes in the NBA. Who knows if he even plays summer league after the whole shoe incident, if he should play at all in the summer league. But I just don't think he's a top 20, maybe a top 40. I think he's a little bit further out of that. But the problem is who knows? We have no idea.
Yeah, I agree. I think top 20 is absurd.
Absolutely.
Right now, like you said, the competition he's facing, you just don't know. I would entertain a top 50 conversation. I think that's it. He could be in that ballpark.
Yeah.
But even then, we really, really don't know. We've seen prospects come out who we thought, and some of them have we seen go down with injuries. Some of them have just not been there, so it's just hard to say. But I would say, based on the athleticism I've seen out of him, he seems to have a good head on his shoulders for the most part. He seems to really work hard.
And love the game.
And
too.
Loves the game. I could see him. I would entertain an argument at top 50, but at the end of the day, we will not know until we see it. We'll say the best case scenario for him is these teams that are tanking, I think, is Atlanta or a team like that that's a good established player. Is he even going to be the best player on this team next year if he goes to Atlanta?
I don't know. Trae Young has looked very good in the second half.
I think
half.
Young is amazing. So if he's not even going to be the best player on this team, we're not talking top 20 at all.
Right. So what? Give me your team. Francesca, give me your thoughts on that first.
So I agree because I've been saying all season that they're hyping Zion way too much. And if you remember last season, Grayson Allen was the same way. And he also came from Duke. And then he went to the NBA, and we haven't seen anything from him.
And there's very few Duke players who have turned out to be stars in the league other than Kyrie Irving. We've seen them mostly be mediocre players, role players.
Watch out for Bagley.
Okay, Mark, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. I should have registered that a little earlier. What team? We have a bunch of teams at the bottom. The Knicks, the Hawks, the Lakers aren't going to be able to have a chance to get in. What do you have an organization that you would like to see Zion go to because you think he could thrive and possibly bring that team from that has been bad for so long into being a top team in whatever conference?
To me, it is Atlanta. I think they're kind of ripe to make that next step, and he could be a good piece to help them get there. I don't know. The Knicks could be, if the Knicks do what we talked about before on the show, if they can go bag Durant or get some players like that, then a Durant and Zion Williams show, maybe they're not going to win right away, but guess who's going to go to those games? Everybody.
So you're saying Durant and Zion on the same team? That's a guaranteed playoff team,
exactly,
in my opinion.
I agree.
Because they're going to have guys. They're going to have better role players than they do now.
The Knicks, as they stand right now, no. I would put the Hawks ahead of them.
Right.
But if they can get Durant to come there, then for sure. Or Dave, I don't. Who knows where Davis is going? Who knows where Cousins is going? There's still a lot of moving parts here. But as teams sit right now, I think Atlanta is the team I would like to see him to go to.
So I know Zion is kind of this.
Well, Sacramento, but
yeah, right.
That's not happening.
So Zion's kind of this positionless player, and there's positionless basketball nowadays. And I've made this argument multiple times with Anthony Davis and guys like Karl Anthony Towns. If these centers are so talented, we've talked about Davis. Oh, is he a top three player? How is he a top three player? He can't even lead his team to the second and third round of the playoffs. To me, and maybe that's because his team isn't that good, but when you have a top three or four small forward, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and those guys haven't had great teams over the years, how can those guys not drag their team to the playoffs? It is unbelievable to me that the Timberwolves aren't going to make the playoffs this year with all the talent they have. The Pelicans the same way. I know they had some injuries early on, but even the fact that they kind of decided they wanted to trade Davis, it doesn't make sense to me. And that's kind of my fear with Zion. I know he's a little bit of a different player. He's obviously smaller, more athletic. But he has that kind of Draymond-type body. Obviously, he's more athletic. And my fear is that he's going to be kind of stuck in that era of bigs that we have now that, yes, are great, but they're not game-changing. They're not winner, like win and make, or you draft them and they change your team completely. That's my fear for these teams.
Yeah, I think for him to make that kind of impact, he needs to be a player like him needs to be able to shoot very well because you need to be able to put the fear of God into those players. And if you're just – because right now at Duke, he's scoring inside the key basically 90% of his points.
Yeah.
So he needs to be able to shoot a lot better, and I don't know if he has that quite in him. Like somebody, like DeMarcus Cousins can shoot threes all day long. And he can bang down low. I don't know if Zion has the shooting, but you can develop that. We've seen some players do it, but right away, I don't know.
So he shot 37% from three since going down with a knee injury. All right, the teams at the bottom of each conferences. So the Knicks right now would be the number one pick or the highest draft lottery, but the top three all the same percentage,
the top
right?
Three or four now, yeah.
Phoenix, even Dallas is going to have a top five pick if everything sticks. Chicago, Cleveland, and Atlanta, but I mean, Atlanta's not going to be in there. So really you're talking about Phoenix, New York, Cleveland, and Chicago. Those are your four teams that have the best chance to get them. Chicago would be interesting. See, the thing is, I would like the Knicks to be revitalized just because I think New York needs it so bad. And really, the NBA is just a much better organization when they had the New York Knicks as a good team. And we haven't seen the Knicks be a dominant team since the 60s. I mean, Patrick Ewing and that era had a good team, but they never won a championship. They got to the finals once, Eastern Conference Finals. Or no, they got to the finals once, I believe. Or just the East Finals.
I think it was the Eastern Conference. They lost to the Pacers, I believe. With Latrell Sprewell and Larry Johnson, those guys.
Yeah. I'm trying to think the OJ year. I thought they made it to the finals that year. Yeah, they did. They played the Rockets.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
All right, Francesca, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I'm going to ask you what changes for the Giants with the Josh Rosen trade from the Cardinals. So we obviously know Kyler Murray is going to be drafted number one overall now. And Eli's going to be out, which probably everybody around the league's thankful for. But we'll talk about that, and I want to hear your thoughts about Josh Rosen coming up next here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. What shall we do about them? Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Welcome back here, Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, Dan Anderson, Francesca Carrera joining us. Some good Zion/NBA talk in that first segment. All right, so Josh Rosen goes to the Giants. Kind of makes the Odell Beckham trade a little questionable now because it'd be a nice guy to build your young quarterback around. What are your initial thoughts on the trade, Francesca?
So I don't think Josh Rosen is the answer for the Giants because I didn't think that Eli Manning was the problem. I think the team as a whole has an issue, and now that Rosen to the Giants and without OBJ, I think that's an even bigger issue.
The problem it seems like the Giants have had the last couple of years is protecting Eli, so we haven't gotten Eli a fair shot.
Right.
However, he's made some horrendous plays that have made them look bad. But now they've kind of – last year they drafted a little bit in the offensive line. They lost an offensive lineman earlier this year in the free agency. But I just think that they're trying to go young. They are looking for the new franchise quarterback. If you can get a guy like Josh Rosen, who some think can still be really good possibly in the league – what did they give up for him, a second-round pick?
I think so.
I mean, that seems like a...
Yeah, I think it was 37th pick overall, yeah. So early yeah. Second round.
That's a fair trade to me, to take a chance on a guy. You don't know if he's going to be great or not. Just a second-round pick to give up for a possible franchise quarterback? It doesn't seem like it's a bad move for the Giants.
I mean, honestly, they couldn't make any bad moves at this point because the Giants have been so bad. I mean, I can agree that this is a good move.
That's a really good point. I think at this point, you're in basically rebuilding mode, but you're trying not to say that because you got Saquon.
Right.
And Saquon's great. So if you can get a young quarterback in and say, look, we got these two young guys. We're going to go through some growing pains with them, but we're building. Here are our pieces going forward. The thing I worry about is, and we've seen this with a lot of other quarterbacks, we saw with David Carr with Houston, with no, like, you put these guys under pressure and early in their career, you can shatter their confidence immediately.
Yep.
So it's, to me, the most questionable part about it, like Francesca said, the Giants, what the heck? Why not try to catch lightning in a bottle with them?
Sure.
If you're Arizona, you're turning your back on the guy you drafted last year. And if Josh Rosen and if Kyler Murray came out last year, we'll say he had his Heisman Trophy season last season. They came out in the same draft. I'm not sure that Rosen would be higher than
no,
wouldn't be higher than
I 100% agree with you.
Why are you pulling the plug on this guy who you've seen 1 year? And, I mean, he wasn't great, but I don't think it was all his fault either.
No.
So why are you pulling the plug on him to get a guy who has a lot of question marks surrounding him right now? To me, that is more questionable for the Cardinals as opposed to what the Giants have done here.
I agree with you, and I think the Giants, the Odell Beckham trade doesn't make any sense now. But I think it was kind of one of those things. They wanted to get rid of him. They didn't think he was all that happy. So it might have been one of the more like a respect move for Odell just to get him out and say, hey, go be a star somewhere else. And then they decided, oh, we have a shot to get Josh Rosen. That could solve our quarterback problem. Now, they do have a lot of issues, and they got to fix a lot of things in the draft. I don't know if the coaching staff they have is is right,
right.
Or if even their front office staff is right. So we'll see. But, yeah, Arizona and New York, they just kind of seem like they're in the same spot. But now we come back to the Jets and the Giants, Sam Darnold versus Josh Rosen. Darnold went to, what did Rosen go, I think 10th last year?
It's 7th, right?
7th?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the better quarterback in his second year? Rosen got some reps last year. Darnold got a lot more. Those two teams are in pretty similar situations. They both have star running backs, Le'Veon Bell and Saquon. One's paying their star quarterback way less, but they also have holes in the offensive line. They have holes defensively. Don't really have any weapons out on the outside. And it might be kind of one of those fights within New York to see, okay, who's got the better quarterback? Who's got the young guy who's going to be transformational in the future of these franchises?
I think Darnold has the most potential. Not just because he played more last season, but I think as an athlete and as a quarterback, he just fits better than Rosen does.
We know Rosen has a really big arm. That's one of the big things that people have talked about on him. But we've seen guys like Jamarcus Russell have one of the biggest arms of all time, and he made it all about, 6 weeks before everybody realized, oh, this guy's not going to make it. So, all right, let's transition into this. So the NFL came out and made this decision to basically allow penalties to be reviewed in the last 2 minutes, right?
No, so it's – so the booth can do it, but coach can't.
Coach can throw a challenge flag. Okay.
Not so, only a penalty, but a non-call. So the basically because of this Saints play last year, it was a non-call.
Sure.
So now if that would have happened above 2 minutes, Sean Payton could throw his flag and say, I think that's a penalty. Look at it.
Here's the problem with this, and I'm sure you guys will probably.
So just to clarify, it's a 1 year trial. So they're doing it for one season. We'll see how it goes. And then probably what's going to happen is whatever kinks they see, they'll try to work them out and then establish a long-term rule, but it's not a full-time thing quite yet.
Most of the time when these organizations and leagues make these rule changes, there's a lot of pushback at first, and then a couple years down the road, they start to fine-tune it, as you mentioned, Dan, and then they come into rules that you actually like. But the only thing I'm worried about is in the last 2 minutes of the game, similar to the knock on basketball right now, is there's all these stoppages, there's all these timeouts. NFL, if they start to do this more and more often in the last 2 minutes, think about if there's review on nearly every play, because there could be. I mean, with the booth review, unless it's a clear, it's not a clear penalty, why wouldn't they review every play? And then everything stops. Offenses gets timeouts that they wouldn't have typically gotten. It obviously benefits the offense.
For sure. Because especially Hail Mary situation, we have quarterbacks checking out. You could call a pass interference on almost any Hail Mary play out there.
I just think it's one of those things where unless it's so egregious and blatant, similar to the Saints non-call penalty, that's when it's okay to make. But again, Hail Marys where it's iffy, to me, you can't. But the problem is where is that line? And that's what I don't think the NFL quite knows yet, and that's why this trial period is going to be interesting.
It's going to be really interesting because pass interference is not – like if you really go by the letter of the law and you want to call it black and white, you'll have a pass interference call on every single play. But then you can – there's also that, well, if the ref deems that uncatchable. But if you watch everything in super slow-mo like we have nowadays, if you see a guy just barely grabbing a jersey, barely holding the arm down, I don't know. And then we're going to spin this in. Okay, so now we put this rule in and say, okay, for pass interference, it's great. And now all of a sudden, well, I want to challenge that roughing the passer because I don't think my guy grabbed the face mask. We're just going to do every single penalty now? I think it's a slippery slope we're stepping onto here, and I'm not sure if I quite agree with taking this step here.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, with the catch rule last year, we thought it was going to be an issue. And to me, it seemed like it did solve a lot of the problems. However, there wasn't as many catches that were so questioned as they were last year. But I just think this might be one of those things that the NFL does that might get pushed back at first. But I don't know. It depends on how much they use it. Because if they overuse it, then it's going to become a problem.
Exactly.
They need to use it, I mean, maybe once a game. But the problem is I don't think that's going to happen.
But in that 2 minute, so if it's just the coach's challenge, I wouldn't be as opposed to it because basically you only have two coaches challenges a game. So if you want to burn one on that, great. But if in that last 2 minutes, every time you throw a pass, we could have the referee going, no, we're going to take a look at it. It could be unbearable.
And we're just making it more and more difficult to defend in the NFL. Which I guess is good because people want to see points put on the board. So that's one of the knocks on baseball right now is not as much scoring. But I just think the NFL, at least they're trying to improve. This one was a little reactive to the whole Saints situation. The Saints fans have not taken the loss well. Neither have bettors, including myself. But I just think this is a move that the NFL can make to try and improve things. Again, trial year, if it doesn't work out, they go and change it next year. They might fine-tune it. But it just seems to me that this might be a move in the right direction. But the problem is you start to have too many rules like this. Coaches, the smart coaches and the smart front office people are going to start to take advantage of it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. A little bit of Tiger Woods talk and then some MLB opening day stuff that I guess we need to discuss. That's next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the Diabetes Prevention Program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
Learning is fun at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. for Little Explorers, a hands-on learning program for children ages 2 to 5. Stories, crafts, and so much more. There's a new theme every month. Looking for something fun to do on the weekend? In addition to ongoing exhibits, Turtle Bay offers family and science programs every second and third Saturday each month, included with admission and always free for members. Don't miss out. Visit turtlebay.org for more information.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
When you need assistance applying for veteran benefits, consider utilizing the Shasta County Veterans Service Office. Our veteran representatives are all military veterans that are highly trained and fully accredited, giving you the best support possible. This is Celestina Traver, your Shasta County Veterans Service Officer. We welcome you to our office at 1855 Shasta Street to see what benefits are awaiting you. Please call us at 225-5616.
Segment 3 here on, what is it, March 27th? All right, so, Dan, you and I have known each other a long time. We've made numerous bets where, basically, they're long-term bets.
A lot of long-term bets, yeah.
How many have we made? What, four?
Four now, and we have two
current
pending right now, yeah.
What are the pending ones? This is what's my issue. Yeah, I always forget.
You never remember. The two we have right now is DeMarcus Cousins' landing spot next year. You have the Lakers. I have Milwaukee, and anywhere else is a push. And then we have 49ers versus Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Best record.
All right, so we've done the biggest one that was the most dramatic. I don't know if you heard about this, Francesco. We bet, at least three years ago.
Four, I think it was even longer than that, wasn't it?
Four years ago? 4 years ago, I texted Dan. Dan's been a big Red Sox fan. I asked him, is A-Rod going to pass the all-time home run record, which Dan got upset that I would even dare say that.
I was like, there's absolutely no way he's going to break Barry Bonds' record.
And so I said, well, what about 700? And he said, absolutely not. And I was like, you want to bet? And then he said, yes, because I fired him up.
Because I was so worked up. And right after, I was like, oh, he could get to 700. But
so let me tell you what happened. We bet Outback Steakhouse, a dinner at Outback Steakhouse. This is our pretty consistent bet, no matter what it is. I've already paid for two, right?
I've had three now.
Three?
Well, I let you off the hook on
you
one.
Let me off
you
on
owe me. You still owe me five guys.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Because we bet last year on the Buccaneers and Niners, and he gave me slack
because Garoppolo
hurt. Yeah. So, all right. Which we were still pretty close at.
Right.
For the fact that we had to use our third-string quarterback. So, with A-Rod, I'm thinking I have a lock because he's got – there were whispers of him retiring at the end of the year. Eventually, he got four away.
Well, he had that one really great season right after, and he was within 13 home runs. And then that next season started, and he was started off a little hot and then hit a huge slump. But then every time A-Rod would hit home run, you would text me immediately.
Yep.
He got within four.
And I'm thinking, there's still quite a bit of the season left. I'm like, you just got to run into four, A-Rod. That's all you got to do. And then snap of the fingers, retires midseason. And let me tell you, it was rough because I had that dinner locked in my head. All right, so, but we kind of talked pre-show. We're talking about Tiger Woods. The Masters coming up. I asked you, is Tiger ever going to win another Masters? Or, no, sorry, not another Masters. Win another major. I say no. You say yes.
I say yes.
Are we doing an Outback on this?
I'd do an Outback.
I'm doing an Outback, yeah. It's going to be another four-year bet.
Right. Because here's my thought process on it. A player with that much talent, and we've seen him at his absolute best, is heads and shoulders way better than anybody else. The rest of the field has obviously caught up to him. But because he went through the hard part of just sitting out and healing up like I think he has this last time, I think with the player that much God-given talent is going to find a way to win one here in the next few years. Just he's going to have a weekend where he just has an unbelievable round, and he'll ride that to a major. So I think he grabs one.
When Tiger was at his best, though, there was two things he was way better than everybody else at. He could drive a lot further than anybody else, which he can't do as much anymore because he's in his 40s. And he could putt.
Everybody else hits big now, too.
Yeah, and everybody else hits big now. And he could putt. Now, he's still a great putter. His approach game and his iron game has been getting better, and he's hitting more fairways and greens, and he's giving himself good chances. But the reason why Tiger is so good, he can go up and down on a hole better than anybody, any golfer, in my opinion, on the tour, where he can be in the trees. I saw a video today of him in the trees, and somehow it was like inches away from being OB. This is a couple weeks ago. And somehow got it on the green and then ended up birdieing the hole. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Right.
So he's still unbelievable at that. But to me, the guys have caught up to him so much. He's no longer – he doesn't have that confidence that he had when he could come back from six strokes in an 18-hole – not playoff, but 18 holes to come back.
Yeah, to me, it's he's got to lead from the front, which I think if he can get off on a hot start on one of these guys, he could ride that to victory.
Anyway, Masters coming up a couple weeks. Opening day is what, tomorrow? We had a couple games in Japan last week.
Technically, we're two games into it, but the more traditional opening day is tomorrow.
Yeah. Great. No, here's I'm kidding. But, like, opening day is great. The first week of baseball, and then I'm tired of it until June. Or after whatever basketball season ends. We got the NFL draft coming up that I care more about. NBA playoffs are about to start. NBA draft. Those storylines are just better. Now, I do want to see how Bryce Harper plays in Philadelphia. I want to see Trout. I guess he's still in Los Angeles, but
right.
I mean, he's still a fun player to watch, and the web gems are always good to watch. To me, it's just hard to watch a tired 9-inning game on television. That being said, I don't think that the Angels are going to make the playoffs this year, despite the speculation. Oh, we gave Trout all this money. I don't know if the Phillies are. Who are your guys' favorites to not only make the playoffs, but, let's say, win the World Series?
To win the World Series, I don't know if I can make that prediction right now. That's a little bit tough. I mean, I would say Boston obviously has a great shot.
Yeah, but we've seen teams, when they go deep into a postseason, typically the next year they don't perform as well.
But it's Boston.
Ah, you're like making Dan blush over there.
I mean, I'm an A's fan, so I'd like to say the A's. And I think they have a good shot at making the playoffs, the World Series. However, I don't think they have a good shot. The Yankees probably, because it's the Yankees.
The Phillies have been looking good. The Braves looked better last year. So there's a lot of teams that could make it. The thing about baseball is we don't really know, because guys can have down years with a snap of a finger, no problem.
And there's always that one surprise team that come out of nowhere. So it's kind of the A's last year. They got to that wild card
the
spot.
The A's every 4 years.
And the A's, actually, this year, I think, can swing the bats with just as good as about anybody. Their pitching is the big question mark to me this year. That'll be the question to me, whether they make it. And this year, though, the team that I've been really enjoying watching spring training games of is the Twins. I think the Twins could be that team that they could kind of come out, maybe grab a wild card spot, be the A's of the last year. Hmm. I like the Astros to win it this year. If I had to put money on a team to win the whole thing, I think the Astros come back. The Red Sox, obviously, I really like, and I think obviously they have great talent. Their pitching rotation's pretty decent still, but we don't have a closer still, so that makes me a little nervous. But if I had to bet, I would say Astros over the Braves in the World Series.
Okay.
If you had to pin me down right now.
So here's the thing about the Giants. We haven't talked about them. I actually don't think they're going to be very good this year again. They try to put these older pieces together to make something work that's kind of been the Brian Sabian and Bobby Evans way. Now they have a new GM. They have issues with their president, Larry Bear, who...
Yeah, that's not a good look.
The domestic violence thing. So he's suspended until, I think, June or July. So that's hovering over him. And I think it's one of those situations that the Giants don't want to give up on their core guys. They got them three rings in Buster Posey, Madison Bumgarner, Brandon Crawford, Joe Panik. Those guys like that. And I don't think that's a terrible thing because I know the fans would love to see those guys play forever. But at some point, this happens in sports. You wait too long to get rid of a guy, to trade a guy. And then by then, you're a year or two behind or where you could be on another development of another player. And that's my knock on the Giants right now is, yeah, Buster Posey's been great. Bumgarner is great. Bumgarner is still an X factor, so I'm not saying him. But Posey, it's all about hitting home runs right now and the advanced statistic. He doesn't do that a whole lot. Is still a great defensive catcher, but he doesn't play it all the time because he's got to play first base once, twice every 5 days. Crawford's a great shortstop, but they have a lot of holes elsewhere. They tried to fill it with McCutcheon last year. They have Evan Longoria at third. They just have some strange pieces. They don't have a very good rotation again. And their bullpen isn't great. So I just think those reasons are why I'm a little worried about the Giants, and it's Bruce Bochy's final season.
That is actually what I was about to say. They went a little younger in the outfield this year, so they're going to try to piece together a team. I could see them making – I wouldn't bet on this. Like you said, I don't think they're going to be very good. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. But if Bochy can rally the troops and say, hey, let's do this one last time, Buster, you and me, let's go. Like, I could see them getting hot. Like, baseball is a game where you can really get momentum rolling,
yeah,
and win some of those games in the middle of July where everybody's getting tired. But if Bochy can rally the troops, I could see them being maybe a surprise team like the Twins sneaking into a wild card. I think the Dodgers are too good to lose that division. I'd be shocked if they didn't win the division there. But I could see it happen. I wouldn't be so surprised, but I would not put any money down on the Giants to get in.
I mean, that's kind of what happened with the A's last season. We started off not great at all, and then all of a sudden we just hit the stride, I think it was late June, and ended up in a wild card game, and nobody saw that coming.
I just think the A's had a little more something to prove, and right now the Giants kind of feel like, oh, we've got three rings, or however many, a couple of these guys have two, and they don't just seem as hungry as they used to. Now, that being said, in my last 3 years, I've drastically paid less and less attention to the Giants. It has nothing to do with the team's success. I watched them in the playoffs, what was that, 3 years ago? I just think that baseball is relatively boring to watch when you watch it for extended periods of time, especially on television. Going to a game, unbelievable atmosphere. That's my big fear for baseball, is that people are going to start falling into like the slump of baseball like I'm in right now, where you can watch a 9-inning game and truly you can be on your phone the entire time and it doesn't really matter what happens because you can look up every couple of seconds to see if the ball got hit anywhere. So that's my knock on baseball. I mean, Dan, you and I have had this conversation multiple times.
I mean, I think I'm just old man, I guess, because I still love it. I mean, specifically like Red Sox, yeah, I could sit down and watch the Red Sox play 162 games a year.
You're going to watch all 162 games?
I mean, I have two kids and they're on the way, I won't. But if the opportunity presented itself that I could, I probably watched in their entirety probably 75, 80 games full. And I watched every pitch of the playoffs. So I don't know. And I'm interested, like I said, I watched the Twins spring training games this year. I love the A's. I think the A's are their batting talent. They have some really, like, Chapman and Olsen, these guys are going to be they're going to be Yankees one day if the A's get some good pitching to go around them. But I don't know. I think it's just – I agree with you. I think that baseball does have an issue, which I think that's the part of our argument that we – the common ground we have is I think that baseball is not quite as dying as you think it is, but there is some rocky waters that, especially attendance went down. That's when you start losing people. People won't go because they're pricing people out now, which is a big problem. And then you're
going to price people out so far that people are going to lose interest in the team altogether, and
exactly.
Then it's going to be a giant issue in 3 to 4 years.
So what they need to do is keep people in
seats.
The seats. If they
yep.
can get to the game and then that little 8-year-old kid goes, man, I loved watching that, even if they don't know much about the game, but they can connect with those players. It, like even in Oakland or even in Tampa, teams who maybe not have the superstar names, but if you can go and have a good experience, you're going to go home and want to watch that if you're at home. So I think that's how baseball needs to – they need to focus on, making it affordable for families to go and get the kids re-engaged here.
Francesca, I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
So I totally agree with Dan. I could sit and watch baseball all day. And I
for on television?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then if
How many
I,
naps?
None, unlike you. And then if I can't watch the game, I listen to it on the radio.
I agree. Radio, baseball on the radio. I mean, I do baseball on the radio for the Colt 45s. So I can't say too much. But
right.
I just think that going to the game is awesome. Television, there's so much space of time between ball and play. I
oh,
can
no,
see.
Here we go.
4 minutes. That's a long time. So I just – that's my knock, and I don't know how to solve it. I truly don't. But yeah, I do understand why people love it, and I do. I was my favorite sport until it lost momentum a couple years ago for me. So it is what it is. All right, we'll come back, take a break. Enough baseball talk because I've got this stance that it's negative on it, and I don't like that I continue to stick with it because it makes me sound negative on the entire sport, and that's not the case. All right, Jared, we'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk about who we think is going to win the March Madness tournament. Can anybody beat Duke? We'll talk about that next on Sports Talk with Hunter Sutton.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Welcome back. Segment four. All right, March Madness stuff. We're at the Sweet 16 still. Here are our games the next couple of days. Duke has a one seed against Virginia Tech, which is a very interesting game. We've seen Duke. Ironically, Duke's odds to win the tournament have decreased right now before the tournament, which is unbelievable, which means, and I heard this today, that odd makers believe that Duke looks more vulnerable than they ever have. So very interesting as they play Virginia Tech, a team that has looked good throughout the tournament. LSU, Michigan State, another pretty good game, 2-3. Gonzaga, Florida State, Michigan, Texas Tech. So that left side of the bracket, the east and west side, all had the top four seeds in the Sweet 16. Now we go to the south bracket, Virginia against Oregon. Oregon, the last double-digit seed, the only team that is a seed above a six remaining. They'll play Virginia, which, again, is a beatable team. We talked about it last week, Dan, because of Virginia's inability, or not inability, but they play good defense, don't always hit shots. A team can get hot against them and beat them pretty easily. Purdue and Tennessee, and then North Carolina, Auburn, and Houston, Kentucky. So it is truly unbelievable. We have, what is it, two teams out of 16 that performed upsets to get to this. Everybody else has been basically following suit, and I don't know if we've ever seen that happen in March Madness.
If it has, it's been quite some time because I have no recollection of it.
So that's now my question to you guys is, and we'll get into who you think is going to win and all that kind of stuff, but we don't have a whole lot of time, is the March Madness so top-heavy now to where the higher seeds just have a pretty easy ride to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and Final Four?
I mean, I don't think it's been super easy. There's been a lot of close games during this tournament, and Duke is one of them. Duke should have lost, and I think that's partially why we're not seeing the upsets, because the lower-seeded teams are playing good games. They just can't finish them.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think this is kind of an anomaly that we're seeing here. The way this tournament is set up and the way basketball is played, like we saw last year with UMBC, if a team can get hot shooting threes, and now it seems like every team is starting to figure out, if we shoot threes, we can be in a game with anybody. I just think that this year the ball has bounced the way of the favorites more than not. So I think this is more of an anomaly. I think maybe next year we see a little bit more of the higher seeds advance to the Sweet 16.
We've also seen quite a few blowouts, too.
That is true. And some of them, the lower seed has been blown out teams.
No, sure. So, all right. Can anybody beat Duke? Or is anybody going to beat Duke? I know everybody can at this point. It's been pretty clear that Duke is vulnerable, but can anybody knock him off?
I have Duke losing in the Elite Eight. I don't remember who I have them losing to, but I do have them losing.
So they play Virginia
Michigan
Tech.
Michigan State in the Elite Eight, or who are they playing? LSU, probably one of those two teams.
It's Michigan State. That's who I have.
And I said this last week on the show when I was filling out the bracket, I was trying not to pick them because I didn't want to do the consensus, but I just couldn't see them in a perfect scenario. If they played their game, I don't see anybody beating them. Obviously, that's a lot to ask of these 19-year-old kids to go out and play their best game every time. So I could see it coming, but I would still, if I had to repick starting at the Sweet 16, I think I would still take Duke to win it all. I do think that the best team that does have a chance to beat them is Michigan State in the Elite Eight. So that game, if both teams advance, will be, I think, their hardest matchup here rest of the way.
Better matchup than North Carolina, who's beat them a couple times and kind of appears to have their number. I know they haven't played against Zion pretty much the whole time, but still.
Yeah. I mean, that game is going to be a good game if that happens. That's what I have in my bracket, so I hope it gets that far. But I think if Duke can get rolling and get all the way to the championship, I think they're going to be pretty hard to knock out in that championship game.
Gonzaga versus Florida State. Gonzaga always struggles a little bit in the tournament. couple of times they've done a good job. But
this is about the time they start.
This is when they usually start to struggle, because they play good their first couple rounds because they're used to playing teams of that caliber because their conference is so weak. Now you play a team like Florida State who's kind of got it rolling the last couple of weeks. They've been playing well. They blew out Murray State, which is a good team, 90-62. They just appear to be a hot team. I wouldn't be surprised if we can see Gonzaga go out this next round. I think that, yeah, they play tomorrow, or even to Texas Tech or Michigan, because I think Michigan and Texas Tech are both teams that could make the Final Four easily.
I do like Michigan a lot. I think that they could be trouble for a lot of these teams.
And then, see, my bracket is so – I had Wisconsin going a long ways, and they did not go anywhere. So, but Oregon, who beat Wisconsin, still around. They play Virginia. Is Virginia still the most vulnerable team to beat in the – who's left out of the 16 teams? Other than the higher-seeded Oregon and Auburn.
I would say in this round specifically?
Yeah.
Who's Gonzaga playing again? We said Florida State.
Florida State.
I might go Gonzaga is more vulnerable at this point. Just because, like I said, it just seems like this is the time of the tournament where they're in their own heads a little bit about what's going on. So maybe I would pick Gonzaga, but Virginia would probably be my second choice for most vulnerable.
Now, March Madness we always love because there's a lot of basketball and there's usually a lot of upsets, a lot of game winners, a lot of crazy that happens. Has this tournament been disappointing?
I don't think so. I'm not disappointed. I think it's been super entertaining, especially games like Duke the other night. I mean, they shouldn't have won, but they did, and it was barely. I mean, that was an entertaining game to me. And I think the whole tournament's kind of been like that. There's been a couple games where teams have been blown out, and I had to turn them off because it was boring. But I think, as a whole, the tournament has been entertaining.
Yeah, I would say I didn't get to watch the Sunday games. I was on the road most of the day. But I would say this, it's not the most entertaining tournament. I think we've definitely had tournaments in the past that are more entertaining, but it's still been entertaining to me. So I wouldn't say it's been a disappointment. But I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't write home and say this is the greatest tournament I've ever seen at the same time.
Somewhat similar to the Super Bowl, lowest scoring, not
but still
the
intriguing,
most, but still
intriguing and
yeah.
Fun to watch, yeah.
Okay, I like that. All right, my thanks to Jared King, our wonderful producer. He gives me a thumbs up. Again, his picks, let me reiterate them. They're probably going to win. Let's see. I have it on my phone here. He has Gonzaga, Purdue, Texas Tech, and Virginia. So two number one seeds and then Purdue and Texas Tech. So we'll see.
Take that to the bank.
Take it to the bank. Has no idea what the spreads are, but that doesn't matter. We just love the fact that he messaged me to...
Jared, he bets straight up.
Yeah.
He's a straight up kind of guy.
He
doesn't need the point spreads.
Exactly. He doesn't need the point spreads. Thanks to Francesca and Dan. We'll be back next week. Obviously, more March Madness talk. NBA playoff picture becomes even more clear. We'll talk about that. Maybe a little more Masters talk coming up. That's next week. And now to go out in a way, and I got to give credit to Jared. This is hilarious. This is what I'm thinking when I'm watching a baseball game. Have a good week, everybody.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.